Two words. Bat nipples. We saw Batman and Robin, so you know what that means.
Now it's time for How Did This Get Made? We're gonna have a good time, celebrate some failure, not just be a hater, cause you know you wonder, how did this get made? Let's wallow in the mediocrity of subpar art. Perhaps we'll find the answer to the question, how did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth, and welcome to How Did This Get Made? I am joined, as always, by Jason Mantzoukas. Hello, Jason.
How are you, Paul?
You are in New York. That is the sound quality that we are hearing. But it sounds pretty good to me, I think.
I think so. I think it sounds just terrific.
Unfortunately, June is not here today. Scheduling has made it impossible, but the show must go on. So we have two special guests instead of just one. Two. You know this first guy from, of course, Attack of the Show and the very popular Nerdist podcast. Please welcome Matt Myra.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here. I just wish I didn't have to watch that movie.
And then this is a friend of the show, somebody we're very excited to have. He does a bunch of things at UCB Theater, and we can say that you work for Marvel, right?
Absolutely.
All right, there we go. And he works for Marvel. Please welcome Jesse Falcon.
Hey, guys.
Thanks for having me.
Very excited. So, all right, this movie. Yeah. Holy shit, I don't even know where to begin. I think you know that you're getting into something amazing when the first shot is ass. It is like, it's a gearing up shot, and it's just bat ass. Boom, right there.
Not just one, two.
Oh, yeah, right. The Robin ass,
they
too.
They were both pretty well formed, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. No, they're in very good shape. George Clooney and...
these guys have great asses.
I would dispute that, Mantzoukas, because honestly, I went back and I watched that, you know, gearing up montage, which we've seen in, countless action movies and specifically superhero movies. But they really took an extra couple seconds on both of those shots. And those are both foam latex. You don't even know that those were people wearing those things. You know,
like, I feel like that they didn't even know that that shot was even being in the movie until they had their premiere. Like,
and there was comparatively so little time spent on Alicia Silverstone's ass in the montage shot.
Yes, there was. You're absolutely right.
I know people joke about this movie as being very homoerotic, but... It is. I mean, there's no denying this movie is ridiculous. The bat nipples.
No, this movie is three quarters. Yeah. Yeah. This movie is three quarters on its way to being a porn parody of a Batman movie.
Yeah. The writing would have been better.
For the porn parody. I do want to point out that the writer of this movie is Akiva Goldsmith.
Dude, unbelievable.
This guy is insane. This guy's written so many amazing things.
Does he have an Oscar?
I'm sure he has.
Right?
Or something.
Cinderella Man, he wrote.
This is all Schumacher all the way.
Yeah, Schumacher, I think, went nuts on this.
He put neon lights on the Batmobile. Why would you cover the Batmobile with neon lights?
Oh, he put neon lights, and then when Robin's cycle, or whatever the fuck it's called, opens up, there are two neon Robin signs on either side, just to remind you whose that is.
Well, also when Robin crashes through a wall, it creates a Robin, like a Batman.
Oh my god. That was crazy.
I mean, this movie makes the Adam West Batman look campy.
Oh, God.
And I felt that when I was watching it, because I hadn't seen this movie in a long time. I actually remember seeing it for the first time. We were a couple of buddies of mine, our DC buddies counterparts, were like, oh, we have a screening of this thing. Come over and watch it. And we really liked the Batman series, you know, up until that point.
Yeah.
We accepted the fact that they were going to, you know, kind of retcon each episode, if you would, or individual film by getting a new actor after Michael Keaton left the series. Then it became Val Kilmer. It was like, oh, that's cool. Yeah. Val Kilmer was awesome. You have to remember, like, even watching that movie now, it's very campy, but like that was before they did Pet Detective 2. So Jim Carrey was at the height of his comedic power, and people just couldn't get enough of him. So they loved that movie, and the movie did incredibly well. It made so much money. So Joel was just like, I'm just going to keep going in that direction and really hit the gas this time.
You know? I'm gonna hit the gas without comedians in this one. Like, that was it. He did not put any... I mean, he put Schwarzenegger and Alicia Silverstone.
Schwarzenegger, top build.
Yeah. Yes.
The villain is top build in a Batman movie.
That was shocking to me. The other thing that was shocking to me is that all of his henchmen were basically Starlight Express hockey players.
Yes. I said that the whole fight scene felt like I'm watching Batman on Ice. It was like, this is just a theme park show that was shot a little bit better.
I think that was part of the pitch when Schumacher came in. It was like somebody was like, this is going to be just like a Batman movie, but think of it as Batman on Ice. And then you just know that, like, sparkles came out of his ears.
We just signed a deal with Six Flags. We have to make it work.
Yeah, absolutely. But, and to that point, this is the other thing that I really noticed about watching this film is that, you know, I'm very conscious of product placement. And I don't mean like, you know, the Coke can in Ghostbusters when she opens up the fridge.
Right.
I'm talking about stuff that toy companies specifically asked to be in, like, to be in the film.
Yeah.
This film really wasn't so much a movie, a Batman movie, as much as it was a feature-length Power Rangers commercial.
Oh, it was absolutely a toy commercial. It was absolutely a toy commercial.
There's so many. I mean, there's literally a line. I believe I have this. Can you play the Poison Ivy one?
Yeah,
I have. Like, listen to this.
No, no. First you're going to tell me where Freeze is, and then you're going to jail.
I'm a lover, not a fighter. That's why every Poison Ivy action figure comes complete with him.
Which is a bold-faced lie.
Yeah. Yeah,
every
you're right.
Poison Ivy action figure. By the way, we're getting a little taste of Uma Thurman, who plays Poison Ivy. Her subtlety in this movie is on par.
There was obviously a Greta Garbo plant that bit her at some point.
Yeah, that was funny because she was like a mousy little girl at the beginning. And then
playing it fine.
Somebody pours a mixture of chemicals on her and she completely becomes a different character.
Oh,
yeah.
Hey, fellas.
You want to come up and see me sometime? She does have like a crazy line where she's like, my blood is aloe and my lips are poison.
It's like whenever Kate Mulgrew got trapped in the holodeck. It's her delivery.
Oh, my God.
A movie as a staple right away of a bad movie, which is there is a surfing scene right at the top. Like, they're in like a little...
Oh, no. I was watching it just this morning, as a matter of fact. And when Mr. Freeze's car starts tilting up, I'm like, that's not a rocket ship, right?
That's what I said.
They're not going to take a rocket. He's not taking a rocket. And then a fucking jet fires, and they're in a rocket. Also, Schwarzenegger's
in
hand.
A museum.
In a museum.
The rocket is in a museum.
Right. Well, he drove it in there. He was ready. But if you ever happen to see this again on television, just pay attention to Schwarzenegger's terrible space work with joysticks. Doing nothing.
Oh, my God. That's
By the way, I want to talk about Schwarzenegger's car. He is Mr. Freeze in the movie, which means he says a lot of freeze puns. We'll get to that probably a little bit later. But his car looks like, I don't watch Doctor Who, but what are those robots in Doctor Who? Like
the Cybermen.
Does it look like it has all the things? Yeah, it looks like that. It's
or a Dalek. Yeah, a Dalek. Yeah,
a Dalek. Right. Yeah. And it looks like, so it doesn't even look like a car. I don't know why it has all these like bullet things out of it. It's ridiculous. And Gotham City in this movie, like Tim Burton made a cool dark Gotham. It looked a little bit interesting. This one, they have like statues that are hundreds
of
feet
tall. I'm going to fight you on this. Yeah. I do. I like the super gothic Gotham City. Like, I mean, the giant statue. What I don't care for is that gangs love blacklight.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
And both movies, both Schumacher movies, and the last
So much of this stuff has, like, elements to it that seem to me like Andrew Lloyd Webber musicals. I genuinely feel like whether it's, like, the Starlight Express kind of, like, running around guys on roller skates, or ice skates, I guess is what it is, or, like, that crazy, blacklight neon makeup that people are wearing. It's crazy.
I just want to be at the meeting where Freeze decides this is what you guys are going to wear. You're going to help me out.
Yeah, dude, honestly, like, if you watch, really gooning for Mr. Freeze is one of the shittiest jobs you could possibly have. Because it's like, you know, they all have to sing the the Freeze Monster song.
Yes, Freeze Monster.
And then what are they eating? They like tongues are all stuck to frozen dinners.
This is
solid ice.
The best shot in the movie starts off on two a polar bear feet, slippers, and they're tapping along and they're watching.
And you pull up on his polar bear robe.
Because it's so dumb. It's so dumb. And he's leading a sing-along to, that Raskin Basque Heatmiser song. And he's like, sing! Sing! Like, yelling at them to sing along with the Mr. Freeze from that. It makes no sense.
Well, to even add insult to injury here, is like, he has to wear that mechanical suit to keep himself alive. And when he takes it off, he wears clothes that will make him warmer.
Yes! You know,
which is like...
Yeah!
I don't know. And is it Vivica... Was it Vivica A. Fox.
Vivica A. Fox is like his lady, yeah.
hench lady. Which the whole logic of Freeze in this movie is so fucked up because, it, you know, at times he's like, "I'll kill you, I'll rip your bones out," and then at the end of the movie, Batman is like, "Hey, listen, man, I know you just really want to save your wife." He's like, "Really?" And then he's like, "Oh, I'm a good guy now." Like, how did he make this hairpin turn? You know,
I don't even understand that Mr. Freeze in this movie has no plan. Really, like, he's just he gets cut into a plan.
I think the
later
most
on.
Compelling villain in this movie is Poison Ivy's boss that wants to sell off the Bane super soldiers.
Yeah. Oh, which
isn't
is
that
great
guy from Smallville?
Yeah, yes. John Glover. Yes. He is appealing to the unknighted nations.
I loved those five character actors they had standing in the balcony, like one black guy, one Chinese guy.
You know that they are all dressed like that in their headshot.
They're the most racist view of the world. But there is no plan. Like, just to point out, there is no plan. Mr. Freeze is just going around.
No. His plan, which cracked me up, is to get money for research.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
his plan. Not like he doesn't want to. He holds them ransom instead of selling the billions of dollars worth of diamonds he's stolen. He decides to freeze Gotham City ransom.
Doesn't he need the diamonds in order to power his stuff?
Yes. Right, but that's what he needs. He needs it to power that. I'm talking about the plot of Batman and Robin.
Please get into it.
He needs it to power his freezing engine, which will freeze Gotham City, which we will then hold ransom so he can get billions of dollars for research.
Thank you for clarifying that, because I did not get that, and I am happy to now know that
I
really feel
this
point.
I fully missed that.
But he could just cut out the middleman and sell diamonds.
I get the frozen wife part. I get the part where he needs to make his wife better.
Yeah.
But I could not understand what the fuck was going on, because I was so confused by the idea that the most powerful fuel source in Gotham is diamonds. I was like, I don't know. Everybody seemed to want diamonds to fuel something.
Yeah, what?
Look, when the number one reporter in Gotham is a gossip reporter. Yeah, gossip comes. I'm here with Mr. Bruce Wayne.
My personal friend, Mr. Bruce Wayne, says.
She was way overused in this movie. Like, why were there two scenes that they needed that
You know
character?
that woman exists in reality. That actress is that woman, and she is best friends with Joel Schumacher.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Joel, baby. Put me in the movie. Yeah.
And her sister, Cindy Adams.
Gossip Gertie is her name, played by the lovely Elizabeth Sanders, who's only been in the two Joel Schumacher Batman movies.
What did I just tell you?
She plays the same character in both movies?
Yep, Gossip Gertie.
It has to be, right?
She also was in Batman Returns as Gothamite number 4, but I imagine that has no lines there. So I think she could be a friend of Joel Schumacher.
She has
probably
to be.
Right.
She has to be.
I want to get back to something for a second, just because this is a fun little tidbit of information. The scene at the top of the movie where they're fighting in the museum, and then they blast off into low orbit and then use the escape hatches surfboards.
Yes. When Robin gets to say...
Just the doors.
Yeah. Robin goes, "Cowabunga!"
Yeah. Yes, he said that.
Yes, he did say that. So he co-opted a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle line there. But that scene was described to me in a very, very early days before the X-Men movie ever got made. And the executive producer of the film had this idea that at the end of the X-Men movie, you were going to see something like you had never seen before. I have to say it in his kind of accent, because this guy was an amazing salesman. He's like one of the greatest salesmen in the world. And he was like, at the end of the movie, you're going to see something like you've never seen before. It's going to be Wolverine and Sabretooth up on the top of the mountain, and the snowboarding down, and the claw fighting all the way down to the bottom of the mountain. So that scene almost happened. Almost happened in X-Men. So.
I will say that it is, we always are looking for signs of a bad movie, and surfing like is always a clear sign,
it was bad before that, because the immediately when they're in the Batmobile, when Batman now is in the one-seater Batmobile, the 27-foot-long Batmobile.
That looks really like a bright neon. I mean, it really does look like an ambiguously gay duo.
Yeah, it does. Totally.
Commissioner Gordon comes on and goes, "There's a new villain."
A new villain.
To trump that, when Batman meets him, he's like, "Hi, Freeze. I'm Batman." Like, what a fucking superhero? What Dark Knight goes, "Hi, I'm Batman."
He calls himself Mr. Freeze.
Yeah.
And we completely skipped the fact that they look at each other, click their boots, and ice skates pop.
Yeah. Oh. Because you never know when you need to ice skate fight.
Yeah, yeah.
Mind you, they just leave the they just see the bat signal, so they're leaving on an ordinary crime fighting thing. Yeah. They don't
bring,
know that they're
bring the bat boots with the make sure it has the ice skates inside.
And this is a dig at Warner Brothers a little bit. That movie was made in what, 1997?
Yeah.
Yes.
So that was the closest we've come so far in film to seeing World's Finest. And there's one line where he says, "Now I know why Superman works alone." And I'm like, that's the fucking closest we've come to see Superman and Batman
is mentioned
on Superman. Screen together. That's an atrocity.
Can we talk a little bit about... I feel like the whole movie is like they left the camera rolling, or they didn't make the cut as quick as they needed to. Like, there's always like an awkward beat after like the final line is said. Like, there's one scene in particular where Alicia Silverstone shows up as Barbara the daughter,
yeah,
the
she's
niece
now
of
she's Alfred's niece.
British.
Her parents are British, yeah. And she's Alfred's niece. But
she came from school in England.
Mind you, Alfred's sister's got to be as old as Alfred.
Yes, yeah. And Alicia Silverstone's like 18.
Yeah.
She comes in and they're like, "Can she stay? Can we keep her? Yeah. Can we keep this girl?" And they're like, "Okay." And then they just like cut on one person's face, cut another person's face, another person's face. No dialogue. It's like shaking their head and just smiling. Like, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, but there's no. It's like it just seems like I almost felt like, should I leave the room? Also, and like this is over, right?
This is the movie where we figured out that Alfred must cut both their hair, like Robin and Clooney. They have the same fucking haircut.
It makes sense. He takes care of them, gets their bullet wounds. I also like that that the back computer in this movie is just a Mac.
It's a Mac.
It's just a Mac. It's not even a fancy one. It's just a regular Mac.
No, but the hard drive icon's the Bat logo.
Yeah.
It's weird that they make moves like that. Like all the other computers in the fucking Bat Cave, Bat iconography all over them. But they have a Mac. But when they start bidding, fucking Batman pulls out a credit card.
Oh God!
That's Batman Returns. It actually said Batman.
Batman good through forever. No expiration date. It was good through forever.
The Batman credit card
never leaves the cave without it.
And I know that. And you can make the argument. You can definitely make the argument like, oh no, they're trying to be campy, but they aren't. They do some things that are super campy, and then some things that are super serious. Like Alfred's dying in this movie, and that's dealt with like. Alfred's dying, and this is a big deal. But then there's back credit cards too, so it's like it makes no fucking sense.
There's even another level to it, and I'm glad we got onto the Alicia Silverstone introduction because there was something that was so fucking disturbing to me about Robin wanting to like seemingly fuck her that just seemed like a brother wanting to fuck a sister. and it's just like, hey man, like just leave that alone. He's like, I can't, man. I gotta fucking taste that shit.
Urges. Have you seen my cod piece lately? It's much bigger.
Yeah. The cod piece
getting
is
bigger
giant.
Every day.
Robin and this is a movie about Robin and Batman really wanting to have sex a lot because Elle McPherson, by the way, is George Clooney's girlfriend in this movie.
She couldn't look worse in this film.
Yeah,
she wasn't fucking.
She doesn't look great. Who plays
Reese? We haven't even talked about the fact that Bane is in this movie.
Oh, yeah. Huge. Forgot all about Bane.
It's like the reality is, like, the main villain of the current Batman movie is this crazy, weird cartoon character in this movie.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, beyond He looks like a toy. I've never seen a character look more like a toy. And he has the best lines.
By that time, the Nightfall series had already come out, right?
Yeah.
Bane had killed Batman, essentially broken his back in the comics. So you're in for this, like, oh, Bane's in this movie. He's going to do something awesome.
And Bane is just a guy who goes like,
How about that fucking photograph of them coming off the plane Casablanca style.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. And it's just like, it looks like his face is Photoshopped.
It's basically like they took like the bad disguises of like the Thing from Fantastic Four.
No, like, or if you opened it up, it would be the little rascals on each other's shoulders.
Yeah, exactly.
Bane is the worst.
What about when Bane fought the glow in the dark gang?
Oh, he just essentially, it's a two move. Yeah, yeah, it's a two move fight where they whip him with chains and he throws them all and they run.
Yeah, yeah.
They just run out of their home.
And and Bane basically, like, he gets, you know, the venom shot into him. That makes him Bane. And he goes from like a little wimpy guy.
Yeah.
He basically just blows up on steroids within a second. I'm not, I don't know all about Bane's backstory, but is that how it happens in the comic book?
It's not far off.
Yeah, I mean, he not, does. Yeah. He uses the one thing. When he hit the chest, then he got more juice. He'd become more powerful. But like the thing is, they've been working on that guy for years to get him to that size. Yeah. But
he didn't just it's basically drink some potion and turn it to.
He's the second or the first character in the movie that you see, because you see all three of the origins. You see his origin. Yeah. You see the making of
Poison Ivy,
and Mr. Freeze. Each one of them is doused in chemicals and then becomes this supervillain.
Yeah.
I just like, it's like the easiest fucking out, you know?
It's just like, it's just the Joker thing over and over. Hey, you fall into that. And you become hey, you fall into some plants. And you become that. You fall into a thing. Yeah, and Schwarzenegger falling into his vat of ice. I don't know what the value is.
No one knows about that. But I really enjoyed, like, his small performance as Victor, I thought was like, yeah, I believe that.
Decathlon,
Nobel Prize winner.
I don't know what he was a doctorate of. I think it was icy puns, right?
Yeah. Speaking of puns, I do want to play. I know that you probably have seen this clip online, but it's worth just listening to for a second. It's a combination or a compilation of every Freeze pun.
Supercut?
Yeah, supercut.
Supercut!
Take
Freeze
a listen.
Freeze puns!
Tonight's forecast. A freeze is coming. Allow me to break the ice.
Okay.
You are not sending me to the cooler. Freeze well! What killed the dinosaurs? The Ice Age!
There's like no follow-up to that, you know?
Just
stay cool, bird boy. Let's kick some ice.
Show some mercy.
I'm afraid that my condition has left me cold to your pleas of mercy. All right, everyone, chill. It's cold.
All right, you get the idea. What I do like listening to those is that he goes really the extra mile and something like, what killed the dinosaurs? Yeah. Like, well, all right, I guess, I see.
Just global warming. It's probably a meteorite. Right.
I mean, some of evolution.
Oh, my
gosh. It's so bad. It is so, just the thought that Schwarzenegger must have gotten $20
million. $25 million, and he's only on screen for 25 minutes. $1 million a minute. And when he is regular Victor Freeze, he's watching a video of himself giving his wife a necklace.
Well,
where was that video camera? This is like a personal moment.
It's just like Bruce, who remembers everything third person.
Yeah.
Oh, oh Alfred, when I fell.
So all of his like weird shadow memories of Alfred tucking him in and stuff were like so weird and like pedophile-y.
They didn't show the one where Alfred slowly stuck his finger up his asshole.
I felt like all the memories were basically like, oh, Master Bruce, now's the time where you suck my dick.
This is why he's fighting crime. He's working on his aggression.
That must
being
be in the director's
abused.
Cut, right?
Oh, easily. Absolutely. They shot it. They just did it, but they never shot it. Just did it for Joel Schumacher. Let's do it again. Suck
Joel
his dick
and
again.
Gossip Gertie.
Gossip Gertie's on writing set. About it. She's like, that's the only, only memoir is Gossip Gertie's prose about these actors diddling each other on set.
And by the way, Coolio alert. That's right. Coolio shows up for a motorcycle race. Because, Alicia Silverstone got kicked out of her boarding school for racing motorcycles.
Of course. That's definitely against the rules of that school.
She was there to study computers.
She's really good at computers because when she's guessing Alfred's password.
She's the worst ever at guessing a password.
Types in England. England is one of the password guesses.
England? Wayne?
The other thing, too, is like she gets... this is the other thing. Like, fucking Batman's supposed to be the greatest detective on the planet.
Sure.
She shows up. He's like, who the fuck is that? Like, you don't know all of Alfred's extended family?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then... wait, you're at what school? Oh, yeah, because I read it on your... he should know everything about her.
By the way, there's only one person, arguably, in Bruce Wayne's life that he cares about. It would be Alfred.
Yeah.
So you figure he would do a little bit of due diligence. Yeah. I mean, like, oh, so you have someone you're connected to in your life?
He would know that Alfred's brother is the Maharaja. Alfred of the Maharaja.
Yeah.
It's like a family of butlers, you know? It's just like... Manservants Incorporated.
Hey, guys, about three quarters of the way through this movie, the fight sequences start having cartoon sound effects, right?
Oh, my God. Oh,
yes.
Oh, and I forgot.
Like out of nowhere.
No, that starts early because the dinosaur, when the statue of the dinosaur crumbles, it roars.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody caught that sound.
Okay. Oh, you know what I totally forgot about? The fucking Fred Flintstone entrance of Batman.
Oh, yeah.
He slides down the back of a dinosaur, pops off his tail, just like the opening of the fucking Flintstones. And it's like whooshing.
Well, it was 5 o'clock.
He was weird that he did punch his time card into the dinosaur's mouth. Yeah, I mean, Joel Schumacher, oh, man. What was it? They were those Dayglow skeletons when they did have that fight. Did I see this? They were hanging out in the Turkish baths.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. The Turkish baths.
Yeah.
Closed Turkish baths.
They're in a bathhouse.
Totally normal.
Let's hang out
where all the bad guys hang out. Yeah. Closed Turkish baths. Not a gay thing at all.
I also love
that in this reality of Gotham City, the police cars have not been updated since 1933.
Yeah, that's another thing. It's like I feel like they're like, oh, we like this Tim Burton thing. It should be weird, but no one had an idea of why it was good when Tim Burton did it. It was like, be like old car, super new computer. And you have high tops, you wear old ties. It's like it makes
Alfred's no... max headroom.
Yeah.
Oh.
This is my favorite scene of the entire movie.
Did you pull a clip of the scene?
I did. Yeah. I actually did.
It's just so fucked up that it's like they went through a bunch of pop culture things like cartoons and max headroom and fucking old Batman shows, and they're like, just put all of it in.
Just shove it in. Yeah. It just feels like someone just shoved everything into a bag and like, just sit on it, cram it down,
Joel,
and get
Joel,
in
it. Doesn't fit. It doesn't fit, Joel.
I don't care.
Oh, it kind of hurts.
The nipples.
Bat nipples. Oh, man.
Play the clip of
computer. So, yeah. This is Alicia Silverstone is kind of bored one night. She finds the Bat Cave, and this is what happens. One of the most preposterous things of all time.
After she breaks into her dying uncle's secret to his brother.
Yes. Here it is.
Intruder alert. Intruder alert. Intruder alert. Intruder alert. Identify. Identify.
Uncle Alfred, it's me, Barbara.
I expected you might find your way down here, child. As such, I programmed my brain algorithms into the Bat computer and created a virtual simulation.
I'd like to help Batman and Robin.
I anticipated you would and took the liberty to create something in your size.
And that's how she becomes Batgirl? He programmed a thing. Like he's like, imagine recording that day. Like, all right, well, if she comes down here and she wants to know, I'll have to answer that. If she just wants to hang, all right, I'll have to answer that. She needs a costume. Like, that's how she becomes Batgirl. Just like, oh, yeah, I thought that this might happen. And also, I love the fact that Barbara reacts to Alfred as if he's a person, not...
No.
It's me. Barbara.
Why can't you see me with your eyeballs that are clearly in front of me?
Why are you being so mean?
Oh, God. Why is your voice skipping?
I did not remember how, like... I don't know. There's so much... There's so... Like you said, it's like falling in a vat. It's like, oh, yeah. Yeah, you got a costume.
Yep.
And she, not only, there's no training. She's shown no skill besides motorcycle racing.
Well, she flips Robin over in the garage.
And if I may, in the previous film, Batman Forever, the only training, by the way, the only surviving two members of this fucking cast are Robin and Alfred. Alfred's the only Alfred all the way through all four of these things. In the previous film, when Robin's family is killed and Bruce Wayne takes him in, Alfred sees him cleaning his clothes in the room where they've got the washing machine. And he says, oh, do you want to use the dryer? And he's like, no, dude, man, I've got my own way of drying clothes. And then they cut to this fucking insane montage of him, like, using his wet clothes as, like, nunchucks and, like,
what?
Like draining the water out. Yeah. And, like, that was the extent of his bat training, like, drying his clothes.
He did Karate Kid of drying.
He dried them really well. Saved a lot of energy.
It makes you realize, like, Like, and then like you said, like, Batman Forever, people are like, that's a good movie. I like that one. Well, so much that they gave them $125 million to make this movie. That's how much
did
this...
I was reading about the movie, and the dailies were coming back to Warner Brothers, and they were so happy with them, they signed Joel Schumacher for another movie.
Yeah, it was going to be a Scarecrow movie. Yeah.
Yes, that's but right, like, with Jeff Goldsmith. Yeah, or Goldblum, Jeff Goldblum, yeah. Excuse me.
So my question is, Warner Brothers must have just... Like, I mean, the dailies couldn't have been better than this movie.
I just think maybe the dailies didn't have sound.
Looks cool. It looks good.
It looks cool. It looks really cool.
You know what? I think when you see the dailies compared to the last film, like, it really doesn't, if you take the individual segments, they don't look that different.
Yeah.
You know? The thing that really makes the previous film watchable is Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
You know, right. Jim Carrey's kind of funny in the movie, you know, and it's like he does the best with that material that anybody could possibly do and kind of makes it enjoyable. There's still lines that I crack up at, but there's none of that element holding it together. And if you're going to be that campy, you need to be funny. And they weren't. But they, you know, they had all those elements. It's like
they had
nobody
being. I mean, I guess Mr. Freeze.
But there's little to no logic in this movie either.
None. Yeah. Like we were saying before, even the puns don't even make sense.
Yeah.
At a certain point, it's like there was one pun. It was like
some of them aren't even puns.
Yeah. Like one. Like,
some of them are just riddles or statements.
If revenge is a dish best served cold, then put on your Sunday's finest. Like what? What are you talking about?
Hang on, Freeze. I don't follow you. What am I doing?
The Iceman cometh, and I was like, is this like a Eugene O'Neill reference? Like the play?
The funniest line to me in this entire film is right after Batgirl appears to Batman and Robin, she says, Bruce, it's Barbara. I found the Batcave.
Like, so dumb. So dumb. Yeah, because he goes, who are you? She's like, Batgirl. He goes, isn't that a little un-PC?
Batwoman?
Yeah, and then she gets like offended. No, Bruce, no. It's me. Barbara. Like, Barbara's only...
Well, it's obviously you don't know that it's me. I mean, I'm covering a square inch of my face. You couldn't possibly
My
be
hair is out full. Oh, man.
Which is another fucking crazy move because, all right, Alfred designs a suit for her. She goes out. She helps those guys. They get their ass kicked. But then Alfred's computer brain had also designed another suit for her to
hold up against the cold.
Yeah. That these other guys, you know, I mean, again, that's another, like, fourth... You know, or third act action figure move where it's like we're going to need to sell some different toys in the movies.
We need another costume for Barbara. Yeah. Oh, good old Barbara. Barbara also does, I mean, because she is so like naive, like, it's me. It's Barbara. Like, you wouldn't think of her as kicking anyone's ass.
No, I feel not like. Not even a little bit. Not even a little bit.
Did she take it? I guess the only reason why they really need her is because she needs to take care of fighting Poison Ivy, right? Because I think.
She had to fight Poison Ivy just so a dude wasn't beating up a lady.
Yes, exactly.
And, by the way, when Poison Ivy is finally defeated, the line curses is uttered by Uma Thurman. That's the line she says. She says curses.
Because this is PG-13, guys. You can't say fuck in these movies.
I also love...
Wouldn't it be amazing if they just, in one line, were like, fuck.
It's PG-13, we get one fuck.
We get one.
And they really give it, like, fuck. It's fucking gone.
Jesse Ventura's cameo was great, too.
And the other guy who's a guard with is the other dude who ended up playing Conan on the TV show.
Oh, really?
His name is like Rolf, crazy long last German name.
Oh, wow.
I was going to say one of my favorite, again, Mr. Freeze lines. It's another kind of pun, but not really, is... Don't forget to winterize your pipes. Like that's like his like that like that's so.
Also, I enjoy the idea that Bane can't possibly get through reinforced steel after everything we've seen him do. reinforced steel. Oh.
You know what was weird is like when he's not Bane or when he's like the little wimpy version. Yeah. Like, were they playing like baby crying sounds?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. It's like, what the fuck, dude?
Also, that guy's supposed to be like a hardened serial killer.
Yeah.
Mass murderer.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That guy was a mass killer. Like, I mean, I guess he had the body of Jeffrey Dahmer. I bet you that's what they were kind of going for. But
of course, it was Schumacher.
Yeah, Schumacher really got in there.
So what he does is he puts the gay men in the tubs of acid.
What about the, I was going to say, Mr. Freeze's car fires like 30 missiles and misses everything.
Yeah.
None of them hit.
Also, if you watch back the big moment for Barbara when she jumps off of her motorcycle, there's no reason for her to do so. And then she lands on Robin's wind-powered surf car that goes over ice.
Oh, God.
And then looks to her right, and the motorcycle, perfectly intact, still moving, she jumps back on it.
Was she just afraid that she was going to hit like a
know.
Crack in the ice?
I don't know.
I do also like that the first line of this movie is, I want a car. That is the first line of Batman and Robin. And he goes, chicks dig the car. He's like, you have your Bat motorcycle, whatever it is. Yeah. Like, but like that's the first line of a Batman movie. It does, I want a car.
It does set the tone for this film pretty strongly. I mean, like, they really are getting
kids,
off.
Kids, don't you want a car?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It might as well be the first line of the commercial for the Batmobile toys.
Oh, I'm sure it was.
Yeah.
By the way, turn on some fucking lights in this world. Every room is in complete darkness. There's not a single lit thing, and it's a disadvantage, I think, for everybody.
Right.
I think, but yeah, the whole movie is just, it's dark. It's dark, but not like Tim Burton dark and interesting. It's just like, no, we'll just have really low lights.
Well, we'll let you bring up Tim Burton. I want to play What If for a second.
All right.
Okay, because this is kind of the temperature of the times, and this is what Warner Brothers really wanted to do here. If this movie had been a success, their plan would obviously have been to do another one. They signed Joel Schumacher to do another one, but there was another property that they were developing at that time with Tim Burton, which was the failed Nicolas Cage as Superman film. So, and I don't know if you've seen some of the work that Steve Johnson and his special effects team have done online, but there's a bunch of costume tests
of the suit,
of the suit, and you know, it's really incredible, just because it's so far away from, you know, anything that we know about the character. It's Tim Burton's interpretation of Superman, and as played by Nicolas Cage. And there are pictures of Nick Cage with a gigantic mullet, which Superman was wearing at that time.
Yeah,
in the comics.
He had long hair. Yeah,
just in the back. And so the mind wanders into the possibilities of there being a world's finest Nicolas Cage, George Clooney.
Oh, that would have been
what that would have been like.
That would have been amazing. Just Nicolas Cage and, I mean, but maybe Clooney doesn't stick around. So who would be the next guy in 1987?
Casper Van Dien.
Ah!
Yeah. Okay.
Hot off of Starship Troopers. Yeah. Get him in there. But yeah, I mean, and George Clooney. I like George Clooney. He's fine in this movie. But man, George Clooney and Nicolas Cage together would have been. Oh.
That would have been unbelievable.
The world is robbed of yet another How Did This Get Made?
Like the ultimate How Did This Get Made?
It really would have been.
I would have loved to have seen that. I mean, basically, if this movie was successful, Christopher Nolan's Batman movies would never exist, because this killed the franchise.
Like, it did.
This was done. I mean, and if it continued, we would be in like, it'd be like a bad James Bond series. It'd be like Batman 12, and here's another lesser known villain.
I don't even want to think about that.
Ugh.
It's so bad. And this movie too, it's really very noticeable that Batman can't turn his neck. Like, he cannot turn his head.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he's making a lot of big moves here.
Well, his neck is clearly, it looks
what
like.
What a disadvantage.
It looks like a guy in a neck brace. It's like, he's just always looking up and never being able to look at.
My single favorite shot in the movie is when they're riding their vehicles across the tops of the city.
Yep.
Yes.
And the Batmobile jumps off and freezes it, and he ejects. And then he flies through the windshield of Freeze's vehicle. And then the next shot you see, it's a very quick shot, but it's the fucking weirdest shot in the whole movie, because they don't do this. Like, so you see, the next shot you see is his cape, and then it kind of becomes unfolded, and Mr. Freeze is laying on the ground, and Batman's standing over him in a pose, like holding up his arms. And it's a really quick shot, and it's almost like, I got him. You know, it's like, it was the weirdest shot, because
I do remember that.
It's almost like, I don't know, it wasn't necessary, but it was so weird.
Did you guys notice when Poison Ivy's plant hangs Batman up? Like,
yes.
The cape is attached at the thighs? Like,
yes!
With string? And it's like, really?
And also another great chance to get an ass shot in there.
Yeah.
Well, solid ass shot. And we didn't, you know, Barbara, we get a boob shot of Barbara when she puts on her Batgirl costume.
Yeah.
But no nipples.
No nipples. No,
yeah, she should have had nipples. She had giant areolas. She could like reach down and throw bad throwing stars.
Giant big nips.
I also like that they spent so much time.
I predicted that you needed a nipple room in this costume, so I made the nipples much bigger.
To know that one of your nipples is pierced, so there will be a piercing on the costume.
Your mother's areolas were large. I assume your areolas are large,
also
taken
the liberty of carving out a brand new grappling hook for each of you with your own symbols.
We are going to take a quick break right now, and then we'll be back to talk about more Batman and Robin. Okay, so, man, obviously we had some opinions about this movie, you know, and I would say that we didn't love it, but there are some people out there, some people who really, really liked it, I culled together some five-star reviews from Amazon for a second opinion. This is from Ryan. Honestly, if you like Batman movies, action movies, or any kind of movie, I recommend this movie to you.
Oh, Ryan.
So that is a five-star review.
Well, how old was Ryan?
We'll see. When you're a kid on Amazon, it says kid review, so he must be older.
You can cheat that, though.
This is the one that kind of got a little dark. Cheryl Kane Neal writes, "No matter what the source of the crime, these heroes gave it their all in protection of human life. Even though these epics of action and adventure, they were best portrayed with dignity and comfort."
Comfort! Comfort!
Wow.
What is that? This woman really had a moment writing this.
Wait, what was Gossip Gertie's real name again?
Oh, I gotta go back. Okay, this is another one. Jeffrey writes, "What's wrong with this movie? I don't care what you say. The film is good, other than the directing and the plot being a little bit bad, but that's nothing." Now the directing is bad and the script is bad, but that's nothing. Forget about that. And he finishes off his review by saying this. He reviews all the Batman movies. Batman, bad. Batman Returns, terrible. Batman Forever, bad. Batman Begins, Christopher Nolan's, terrible. Batman and Robin, excellent. 5 stars.
What?
The only one that he liked. And Batman, and just so, Batman Returns and Batman Begins, both terrible. Batman, at least, is just bad.
Oh, my
wow, that's
God.
Incredible.
Nominated for 11 Razzies. 11 Razzies on this movie. A big accomplishment. Is there anything that we haven't talked about that you guys that popped out to you? Anything else that we...
It's just, you know, it's really funny is the randomness that happens. It's like there's no really cohesive, you know, storytelling message throughout the film because they just keep throwing weirder and weirder shit. This you know, the Scooby-Doo special effects, sound effects.
Yeah.
You know.
And it's added midway through, so it's like, I feel like people made changes. Like, even Uma Thurman, she's dressed all sexy the entire time, and then all of a sudden, like, in one scene, she's in, like, a full green jumper, and it's like, wait, bring back the sexy version of her. Like, she should
Where's
be
that
in that
one that came out of the gorilla suit?
I couldn't make heads or tails out of Uma Thurman's character at all.
Oh, I mean...
I didn't know what she was doing. I didn't know what her point was. She was truly, like, there were so many characters in this movie that it's just a mess.
Well, I mean, her character basically just wants to save have the plants come back. But she also is upset when Mr. Freeze says he has a wife. Like, she's been killing all the men, and then, like, Freeze is like, "I have to save my wife." And she's like, "Oh, you have a wife, huh?"
This
didn't mention that.
This is a woman show.
Yeah, it's like, but what do you want to do?
By the way, great Poison Ivy impression.
Anytime.
That was a pretty good one.
But what was very funny is when the fight with Batgirl, she pulls out a 2.5-inch tiny blade that looks very dull and won't cut anything, and then they have her check her fucking makeup while she's fighting.
You know what? Chicks dig that stuff, man. Yeah, man. That's what ladies do.
That's
when
how
they
ladies fight. Have you ever been to the fucking Bronx? That's how they fight. Down
Not
there.
Only is this movie set back filmmaking, it's set back vision of women in action movies. It's set back racial stereotypes. Everything takes a giant setback, and it must have been crazy because you feel like George Clooney must have been like, oh fuck, did I blow it? Did I like?
Should I have been staying on ER?
Yeah, because this is the movie that he put it in.
It's funny because you could find videos of him online going, "I killed the Batman franchise."
Oh yeah, like, he talks about it.
He's really open about I think he was in the he got called to the president of Warner Brothers' office, and the guy's like, doesn't even give him an option. He's like, "You're the next Batman," and he's like, "Oh, okay, I guess I'm doing that now." You know, so it's work is work. You know, I mean,
There was a rough little moment there for him. I feel like that was, I mean, because it's like, what happens next to George Clooney? But he obviously came back and
it made 60 something million its first weekend, and then its total domestic was like 103. Like,
wait, this Batman movie?
Yeah.
Wait, I thought it says here on WGA. Oh, I thought it was much smaller than that. Let's see. It says here. You're right. Total gross, $237 million worldwide.
That's worldwide.
It paid for itself, but only just. And it made everybody reevaluate what the fuck they were doing.
Pretty much people say this is the worst superhero movie made of all time, and I totally agree.
There's a lot of terrible
bad ones, yeah. Catwoman.
Catwoman's
awful.
We've talked about it. But
Roger Corman, Fantastic Four.
Oh, that's in Howard the Duck. another. I could throw Marvel under the bus a little bit. Another one there. I mean, they deserve that for those two.
Do you want to hear the first and third choice for Mr. Freeze?
Yes.
You want that? Well, first of all, Arnold Schwarzenegger, not the first choice to play Mr. Freeze. Who do you think the first choice to play Mr. Freeze was?
I'm going to say Kevin Costner.
Go Tom Hanks.
Jason?
I'm guessing Robin Williams.
Anthony Hopkins.
Oh!
Anthony Hopkins said no.
So he could do Meet Joe Black?
And that would have been amazing. I really want to see that now. Third choice, Hulk Colgan.
No.
Yes. No.
I cannot see Hulk Hogan turning down
that
kind of work.
Well, at the time, it was Hollywood Hulk Hogan. He never would have turned it down.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. I cannot believe. Anthony Hopkins, though, would have been amazing.
The tiny little Iceman or Mr. Freeze.
Wow. That would be great. That whole movie, because just the script probably would not have changed in him running around in that costume.
All the puns, like to go from Hannibal Lecter to fucking Captain Freeze pun.
And now we'd have Arnold Schwarzenegger, no doubt, as Odin in the Thor movies.
It is
what a mess.
This movie is great. You have to see.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
You have to see it. It is hard to find. I found it on Amazon for very cheap. You can buy them used and stuff there. But I recommend seeing it. You have to at all costs. You would recommend seeing it, right?
Oh, I mean, just try it. See if you can get through it.
I would absolutely recommend if you're with a bunch of buddies and want to have a laugh. It's people spent a lot of time and energy making this thing.
$125 million went into this movie. Yeah. Now you said there was something, a callback in the animated series, right?
Yeah, I just thought this was so cool. There was an episode of Batman, the animated series. It was kind of later on where it was centered, the episode centered around these three little boys, and none of them have actually seen the Batman. They live in Gotham. They heard about the legend, and each little boy tells their own version of what they think the Batman really is. And the first one tells this story about, my uncle saw him one night he was a museum security guard, and the story that he tells is animated in the style of the opening of the old live action TV show, where it really looks like that animated style. Then the next kid has a style where he's telling a story where it's basically the Dark Knight Returns. And then before the third kid can tell his story, this one kid named Joel shows up, and he's got a boa wrapped around his neck, and he's coming out of his dad's store, and his dad's a shoemaker, and he's like, "I see the Batman as having like nipples, and like you see his butt all the time." And they're like, "Come on, Joel, he doesn't do that." It's completely inaccurate. So like even like the people who create the canon for Batman were like, "Dude, this was horrible."
Well, I mean, I think it breaks the general rule of Batman. Batman is like a social gadfly in this, not Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
Batman. Like Batman is invited to events.
Yeah, Batman
goes to events. He like hangs out for photo ops. It's like
there might as well be a scene where he's like a DJ.
Yeah.
If it was made now, he would totally be like DJing every Friday at the Hard Rock Ditch Fridays. He'd be there all the time.
I will tell you and remind you that in Batman Returns, Batman did scratch a CD I don't know if you remember that part. It was he recorded the villain's monologue, so he could out the penguin as being a bad guy, not really the real mayor. And as he's playing it, like there's it's like a bat CD player with a bat logo on the CD from the Bat Cave, and he's playing it. He's like, this town's gonna rot. This town's gonna rot. And it's like Michael Keaton's there like scratching the CD. So it already happened.
Oh man, I love it. I love it. I love it. And it makes, and I think I've just gotten so brainwashed of to the Chris Nolan version of Batman that it's so shocking that this was a successful franchise.
I just can't imagine being George Clooney and watching that movie at the premiere and just thinking
everyone.
Oh
yeah.
Everyone, must
even Elle McPherson, like, why did I do this? This was bad for my career.
My one line, I should never have done it. Even Chris O'Donnell, I read this article where he said that whenever he would complain about the script, Joel Schumacher would go, "Shut up! It's a comic." So he would just, it was ridiculous. Go check out this movie. Do whatever you can. Thank you very much to all of our guests. Matt, Jesse, thank you so much. Would you guys have done anything to plug? Anything you want to?
Tune in to Attack of the Show. It's 7 o'clock weekdays on G4, and listen to the Nerdist podcast if you don't already.
You can follow me on Twitter at jscott with 1T Falcon.
Ooh.
And go buy some great Marvel products, guys.
There you go.
like it. NTSF SDSUV, the show I do on Adult Swim, is coming back this week, August 9th, 12:15, following Children's Hospital. Check that out. June is in it. I'm in it. Bunch of great people are in it. You'll like it, I think. It's second season. It's good. And Jason, what do you got?
Nothing really, guys.
All right.
No, I got really nothing to plug.
All right.
Feel really bad about it.
Hey, you know what? It's cool. Hey, don't worry about it, man. It's
no, I'm freaking out. I should have thought of something to plug.
All right. Well, we have our t-shirts. They're amazing. The Crank 2 t-shirts. But the most important announcement today is that today's episode is made possible by one of our donors. That's right. Tyrone Carapita. I hope I am pronouncing that right. Thank you so much for donating $100 to How Did This Get Made? You are a true American hero. No, we really appreciate that. That is incredibly, incredibly kind of you. Thank you so much. Thank you to everybody here at Earwolf, Dave, Steffi, for pulling these clips for us every single week. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
This has been an Earwolf Media production. Executive producers Jeff Ulrich and Scott Aukerman. For more information, visit earwolf.com.
Earwolf Radio, boom.com. The wolf dead.